Christ, we commence our sixth class on In the Front Line. Listen to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. So the last time we shared with one another, that for us to be ready for the calling of our Lord Jesus Christ, we must be able
to serve him with a zealous.
The reason the seraphim were so zealous and serving God, because they knew the God that they worshipped. And this God is the God that fills everything. So that's why they were called seraphim, the burning ones. But even though they were burning, but their six wings were not burned.
Wow.
Because they know they need these six wings to cover their faces. They need these six wings to cover their feet. And they need these six wings to be able to fly. So the same thing for us. When we get older, when we become real true workers of God, our heart is so zealous to serve the true and living God. Even that is the case, you must not burn your wings. Because being zealous is one thing, but be able to be humble, right? Be able to not proud what you have done in the past, and be able to be spiritual high. These things, we cannot afford not to have it. Everyone can be zealous, but zealous, right, without the wisdom from God is nothing.
So be burned, right, in our heart to serve God. But at the same time, we need to have those six wings to cover all the places. And I think we also need
to be holy. So that's why
when Isaiah saw the seraphim, and he said to himself, woe is me. Woe is me, it means
the wrath of God will be upon me. Why? Because I am a man, right? For I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then the seraphim flew, right? And having the live coal, they took this live coal from the tongs, even though they are the burning ones, but God's Spirit even burned even harder. So that's why they took those coals from with their tongue, then touched the mouth of Isaiah, and then they say to him, behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. So why, of all the places the seraphim can put the coal, why only at his mouth? At his lips. What do you think? Why only at his lips? Okay. So put back to the nation. But why only his lips? Because as the prophet of God, the most important thing is his mouth, right? Because if his mouth and his lips are unclean, then there's no way he can proclaim the holy words of God. So just like you and I, if our mouths are not holy, if our mouths are not clean, there's no way we can proclaim the word of God. But at the same time that our mouth is so powerful. Let's go to the book of James. Book of James. James chapter 3. The 3. Verse 2. James chapter 3, verse 2.
For we all stumble in
many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to also bridle the whole body.
James has
such great wisdom. If he said, if we be able, right, to not stumble in word, then be a perfect man. This is so true. This means if we be able to control our mouth, control our lips, then we be a perfect man. So what does this mean? This means that our lips will cause us to sin gravely against God and against one another. For example, you fight in a battle, right? A sword. If you want to kill someone in Taiwan, you must really have a long sword, right? From here. But words can reach over there, right? Words can reach over there. Because I remember one time there's something going on in Boston Prayer House, right? The next day, people in Taiwan heard it already, right? And we received phone calls from people from Taiwan, how upset they were, right? Only overnight, right? It's faster than the UPS, right? And Federal Express. So this means words really
is the greatest
weapon, not only to preach
good news, but also to destroy people.
Quite often, right? When we think about what we speak, so that's why we really must know how to control ourselves. Look at how James describes the tongue or the lips of the mouth, right? Look at verse 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us and return their whole body. This is so amazing, right? So horses are so powerful, right? Just like, you know, now, like in the old days, right? I remember my parents, they bought the Ford GT. Yeah, it's Ford GTO. I think it was a 67 GTO, right? That thing had 400 horsepower, right? And if you just step on the pedal, the gas pedal, you burn rubber. That's how fast it was, right? Nowadays, they don't make cars like that anymore, right? Unless you want to spend over a couple hundred thousand, right? But my parents did not want to give this to me, right? Why? Because when I was younger, so they, for sure, they gave me this car, I would kill myself, right? Because I was pretty much a crazy driver, right, back then when you were younger, right? So, but horses, right, compared to us, they are so powerful. But why? You ever see a jockey? How tall is a jockey? They're like this tall. Right? All the jockeys, they're very small, right? They must be very light, right? I think one of our brethren is a jockey, right? Someone, not here, I don't know, someone I know, right? Jockeys are very small. They're almost like little people, right? Why? Because they need to be light on the horse. So when they're on that horse, the horse doesn't feel it off. But he can be able to control that horse. Can you imagine, right? A little guy, have no, really, what kind of strength does he have? But all he needs to do is turn, right? The horse is fine because there's a bit in the horse's mouth to control him. So the same thing for us. If we really want to know how strong we are and how powerful we are, can we constrain our mouth? Can we constrain our lips from speaking things that's not edifying? This is very important. Look at verse 4.
Look, all ships also as ships.
Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Amazing, right? I mean, you guys, some of you guys went on a cruise before, right?
This cruise ship, they are huge.
But you'd be able to turn them left, right. Why? Because they need a rudder from a rudder, right? So I'm saying, you know, I'm sure the cruise ship have a huge one, right? But even then, you can turn it.
All
the same way. Right? Look at verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things, right? The tongue is a little member, but boasts great things. See how great a forest, a little fire kindles, right? And verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a whirl of iniquity. The tongue is so set among your members that it defies the whole body, and set on the fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. This is crazy, right, the way James described the tongue. But he is so right. He is so true. So that's why it's so important. If you want to be in the front line, if you want to be able to preach the gospel of God, we must be able to control our mouth, control our lips. That's why I just think about this. Quite often, when we say the word hallelujah, first, hallelujah, we speak out of our mouth. But it depends how clean our mouth is.
If our mouth is not clean,
then the hallelujah is not as powerful. That is very important. So that's why when I cast out evil spirit, right, when evil spirit come to bother me,
if that particular time my mouth is not clean,
if they have sinned in some way against God, then even though the word hallelujah
come out of my mouth,
But quite often, when you're sleeping, right? And when they come to bother you, you want to say hallelujah. And guess what he does to your mouth? He's just covered, right? He's covered. But of course, we have our mind too, right? So when most of the time now, I'm so used to it in a way that the minute, you know, first, when Satan comes, I will use my mouth to cast it out. But then he will cover my mouth, and then I use my mind, right, to cast it out. In other words, I don't need to speak it out, right? Just in my head, I say hallelujah, then Satan is need to be fast, because he knows which one you're going to go to, right? Your mouth or your head, right, and many things, right? But he knows that your mouth is so powerful. That's why the first thing he wants to do, when before you say hallelujah, he will shut your mouth. So that's why nowadays for us, if there's no mouth, there's no communication. If there's no communication, there's no way we'd be able to fight against him. There's no way. So that's why Isaac, right? Of all the places that Satan can put the cold, but only on his lips, to purify, to sanctify, to make him holy. Right? Look at verse 7, it's so true, right? For every kind of beast and bird and reptile or creature of the sea, is tamed, has been tamed by mankind. It's so true. So true. But no man, verse 8, can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Verse 9. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Verse 10. Out of the same mouth to see blessing and cursing, my brethren, this thing ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Of course not. So in other words, young brothers and sisters, when you go back home, whatever you have on your Facebook, I'm sure after praying for 2 weeks, when you go on your Facebook and things that is not pure and holy, there's no point. Because yes, though we see maybe the world is much worse than we are, but they belong to the world. They belong to demons and Satan. Of course, if we compare to them, we are much better than they are. But compare ourselves to our Lord Jesus Christ. So think about this. So we go on a Facebook and clean everything, and we say to ourselves, in the name of Jesus Christ, right? We clean this Facebook. For example, would Jesus Christ say OMG, right? Or OMFG, right? Of course not. So we are his children. We are the armies in heaven. Get rid of all this junk. Why? Because there's no power in us if we have this kind of poison, right, inside our heart already. So get rid of it. Because the more clean we are, the more our mouth will become very powerful. It's very true. So don't neglect, right, the idea that, don't think that only, you know, when we are speaking live, right, that will affect us. No. It's how we are at home. It's how we interact with people on the internet. All these things. Get rid of it. And with all the internet stuff, really, for most of us, if you're weak in the sense that, you know, there's a lot of temptation in the computer for you, you should put the computer in public area, public places. This is very important. For me, even though, right, I'm 40 years old, I'm still afraid to go on the internet, right? There's a lot of things in there, right? And I'm sure every time I go, I have to pray, right? You know? Why? Because Satan wants to pull me in, right? So that's why quite often all my passwords, they have to do with church, right? Because when I go in there, I know, hey, I'm a true church member, right? Right? Sometimes, of course, you don't need to know the password, but yeah, all have to do with church stuff, right? So because of this, always remind me before I go in there. So that's why quite often when my wife is around, she'll say, why are you on a computer when I'm around? Why are you not on a computer when I'm not around, right? And I say, that is the point. When you are around, I can go on a computer and I feel very safe, right? So it doesn't matter how old we are. Even I turn 60, 70, Satan will use the same temptation, right? Every man, right, our weakness is women, right? And then if you guys, which is not women, then you gotta go check yourself, right? Really, right? Because so far I have not known any brother, maybe couples, right? Couple, that women are not their problems, right? So that's why for us, we must be careful we go on internet. Right? Why? Because when our mind is defiled, of course our heart will defile, and what we speak also will be defiled. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. It's very interesting, right? So from verse 8, he says, "Here I am, sent me." Then verse 11, right? Then he says, "Lord, how long?" It's only been two verses.
Verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, then verse 11,
it says, "Lord, how long?" So in other words, don't think when we go and they should go on the front line, it's going to be something so quick, right? That's why W. Bush, right, in the beginning, he said, oh, you know, when the troops go to Iraq and Iran, whatever, it'll be quick, right? They're still there. They're still there. So for us, we mean this is to fight in the armies of God. It can be a long time, in a sense that it can be a long until the point is what? Until the city are laid waste and without inhabitants. The houses are without a man. The land is utterly desolate. So in other words, when we enlisted, don't think tomorrow I can quit. No. This can be the rest of our lives until the end days. So have this kind of mentality, right? It's not a temporary enlistment. That's why in our church, when a minister is ordained, they are ordained for life. Because when you put your body to be sacrificed, you cannot pull it back out unless there's something wrong. Right? If something wrong with the sacrifice, then you can pull it back out. But if nothing wrong with the sacrifice, you must leave it in. Leave it in. So
this is what it's like for us to be in a front line.
So do not be surprised.
Our enemy is
very fierce. But you must know yourself. And know the God that we worship. And before we can even be called to go on the front line, we must be trained. Trained in the battle, right? Trained in the warfare. And trained to know who we are. That's all it is. You know, during the TTP, right? Think, what do they try to train you during TTP? What do you think? Huh? To pray? Okay, what else? Study the Bible? Okay. What do you think, Andrew? What's the main purpose of TTP? Get you prepared. How do we get you prepared to be a pastor? The right mindset? Okay. And then how can you have the right mindset? Okay. To prayer and to listen to other people's experience. Actually, the main purpose of TTP is for you to draw closer to God. That's the main purpose. It's not to understand the Bible, right? Because the Bible you can read, you can understand if we have the Spirit of God also, right? But if you are close to God, then for sure, you can understand the Bible. So that's why when a TTP student, right, when we go through the whole process, on the end of our training, one thing must happen for sure. That your relationship with God is like this. So when our relationship with God is like this, no matter what happens, you're always going to hang on to God. And that is the main thing. So for you nowadays, the same thing. There's no difference at all. You must build your relationship with God to the point that He's in you and we in Him. And we are one with Him. No matter what. No matter what. Now that we know what we need to do to be called, now let's see what kind of weapon that we need to carry with us. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. So that's fine. Any question, any thought at all? Any question? I know it's the last class of the morning. You guys are tired. Any question, any thought? Any question? Hopefully by tomorrow, we will be in the front line.
And I'll be the one that speaking words.
Try to teach you, right? And you try to... Every time you don't get the answer right, this means there's arrows go right to your heart and you're dead, right? So that's the front line, right? There's no second chances, right? So this is going to happen hopefully tomorrow, right? Right, tomorrow. Yes. Yeah. Okay, alright. Okay. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. It's not a surprise. This is the enemy. Right? We should not be surprised. Right? But the main thing is we must have the vision to see things that is not physical. That is the main thing, right? Because our enemy is not flesh and blood. Because if it's not flesh and blood, then we must have the spiritual eyesight to see the things that no one else can see. Just like right now, right? We all speak in here. You think Satan is not here? Satan is here with us. But God is also here with us. So that's why when you sit in here, listen to God's words, right? And you feel like you're the only one to sit here, then you're greatly mistaken. Even one time during a sermon, right? And the minister seen a lot of brothers and sisters fall asleep in the back. Then God opened his eyes to see Satan come over, right? And tap them. Then they fell asleep, right? Tap them, they all fell asleep, right? It's all a spiritual battle in everything, right? Even though we are sitting here on the physical pews right now, but in the spirit, we are in the heavenly places with our Lord Jesus Christ. We must know and understand this, right? So that's why when we come to church, whenever we open our mouth, you must think and consider. When you hear the word of God during Bible study with one another, you must think and consider. Don't let Satan use your mind to destroy and deceive other members' mind. Especially if you get opportunity to come to the pulpit, right? You must be very careful. Why? Because Satan will use your mouth to speak his will, to do his way. That's why you must be careful. Especially some of you RE teachers, right? If you are RE teachers and you do not believe in a basic doctrine, you must step down. Because the minute you do not believe in a basic doctrine, Satan will use you to deceive younger people. If they use you to deceive the younger people, then woe to you. Because on the end day, God's judgment will be very harsh upon you. So don't think. Because sometimes people, maybe they feel, oh, sometimes they don't get selected to be council members and stuff, you feel so sad and stuff. Praise and thank God. But the minute you get selected to be council member, you must do your duty as a council member. So it means spiritually, you must be filled. So if I think about this, I know a lot of you are each. You must be careful. Don't teach your children wrong things because God will judge over you. It's the same thing for us as ministers.
We hope that anything that proceeds from our mouth
according to the will of God, it's not according to Satan. But we also have to be really careful. Because one day it can be very difficult to discern what is right and what is wrong. Who's saying what is right, who's saying what is wrong. That's why now you must build up your filter. That still to be able to detect every little poison that's coming to your heart. Because if not, you will die or Satan will use you to kill other people. It's very important. So do not think that flesh and blood, right, he can use as a weapon. There's no way we can kill him like that. I mean, look at who we're fighting against. The ruler of darkness. Really, take it very seriously. He's not only someone that is evil, he's evil upon evil, right? He's the ruler of all the evil, right? Really, sometimes if God allows you to experience You have no idea how evil he is. Satan is pure evil. So when he comes to bother me, in my mind, all I think is that he's pure evil. No mercy, no love, no nothing. He's just pure evil. That's why he can be the ruler of darkness. That's why he's the spirit host of wickedness. So that's things the enemy will be going against. So don't go there, right? Thinking that, you know, it's not a big deal. And don't, when we're teaching our students, don't think it's a big deal. Because Satan is right there beside you, whispering in your ears what to say if you're not filled with God's Spirit. And Satan knows if you're filled with God's Spirit or not. He knows. Even if you walk on the street, he knows if you're filled with God's Spirit or not. Everywhere we go, he knows. So that's why he only attacks those who are weak in spirit. It's very true. So make sure when we are walking, we are talking, when we are teaching, make sure we always spiritually feel. It's very important. And how do we go against him? Verse 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13.
Therefore,
the word therefore, this means if our enemy is so evil, if our enemy is so powerful, then the word says therefore. That's what you do. Take up the whole army of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have done all to stand. See, you can see here. Why do we need to take the armor of God? Why? Why is it here? Why do we need to take the whole armor of God? What's the main purpose? And this verse here, verse 13. Yes. Actually, it's just for us to be able to stand against evil. You understand? Just to be able to stand. Because the evil days will come, I'm telling you. Even now so. Because I talk to many young brothers and sisters, you guys' mind are all defiled. And your thought is not correct anymore. Why? Because so many of us do not believe that there's only one true church anymore. Why? What happened all this time? Because our mind been deceived by Satan. Why do some of us say we don't need to be baptized? We don't need to receive the Holy Spirit? We don't need any of these things to be saved? Why? Because our mind has been deceived. If your mind already deceived, and Satan is still in prison, what is it going to be like when Satan is released? This means our mind will be completely defiled. You have no idea. That's why so many of us, it seems so easy, right? To do things that, you know, that is not good in the eyes of God. Why? Because we just feel, hey, everybody does it. Why not us? Right? Why? Look, people on Facebook and stuff, they do all the crazy things. It's nothing. We are tame compared to them. It doesn't matter. The world does not define who we are. We define what the world should be like. Why? Because God has put inside our heart to be like that. So think about this. Verse 14. Stand therefore. Stand. On the end days, all we want to do is be able to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, verse 15. And having sought your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, and which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So in one word, how do we describe the armor of God in one word? What is the armor of God in one word? What is the armor of God in one word? Yes. The whole armor of God is word. This is very important, right? Because it said here, right? Stand therefore, gird your waist with truth. Your waist must be with truth. Because your waist is your core, right? Just like your stomach is your core. If your waist is weak, then your whole body will be weak. You can see a lot of people, right? If you're out of shape, if people are out of shape, you can tell by their waistline, right? Right? If you have a love handle, I don't know why people call it love handles, but they're not so lovable, right? But they're love handles. But if you're in great shape, you can see your waist tight, right? And in good shape. That's how you know. Because why? Because your waist will be the last thing to go, right? Doesn't matter how much you exercise and you try to be in good shape. If your waist is strong, it means your whole body is strong. It's like this. So that's why we must gird our waist with truth. If our waist is good with truth, then everything else will fall into place. Then, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. How can we become righteous? How? There's no other way besides understanding the Word of God and doing the Word of God. That's how we become righteous. And that righteousness that we have is from the beginning. And that is to be baptized, right, and cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone do not get baptized according to the Bible, no matter how much and how hard they try, they cannot. Only those of us. So that's why there's no way, if you're not baptized according to the Bible, there's no way you can be sent to the front line, because you have no breastplate. You have no protection at all. You have no truth, you have no protection. So that's why for us, think about this. Then verse 16. In heaven, serve your feet with the preparation of the gospel. The gospel of peace is what? What is the gospel of peace? What is the gospel of peace? Brothers? Yes, His word, right? That is the gospel of peace. God's word. And verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith. How can we have complete faith? According to the Bible, what kind of faith some people have, right? Some people have what kind of faith? For example, Jesus described different people have different kind of faith, right? And what's some description He used? What's that? Okay, some faith.
But what kind of faith is, He usually say, oh, you are something faith, right? What kind of faith? You have little faith, right? You have little faith.
Then what else? What other? What's that?
Lukewarm faith.
Okay. What else? Great faith, right?
So in the gospel, the full gospel, Jesus
has described a person full of faith in the gospel. Yes or no? Yes or no? This is very interesting, right? Yes or no, sister? In the four gospel, right? Did Jesus ever describe anyone they have full of faith? Are you sure? You say no? It's like, no, right? Only when Jesus describes a person, you can be full of faith. When? When? When did the Bible talk about being filled with faith, being full of faith? Yes, Stephen, this means after the Holy Spirit, right? So the Holy Spirit can give us be full of faith. But how do we increase our faith? How? According to the Bible I'm talking about, right? How do we increase our faith? Where does it say faith come by hearing? Hearing by the Word of God. Where does it say that? Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Anyone? Romans 10? 10 what? 17, right. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this means if we want to put the shield of faith, we must be filled with the word of God. There's no other way. 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So in other words, from the feet and all the way to the head, we must be filled with the word of God. You know, before I really didn't realize why the word of God is the whole armor of God. Then one night during the time I was in Garden Grove Church, and it just happened that I was sleeping. And also, all of a sudden, Satan came up, right? And he wanted to fight with me. And during the time, usually when he showed up, I just cast him out. But this time, this voice in my mind, don't cast it out. Just think about the word of God. So during the time when I thought about the word of God, and the word came through my head, right? And it started to fill throughout my whole body. So as the word of God continued to fill in my whole body, and I saw Satan in the corner, he's all shaken. He's all scared. Then the minute that my whole body filled with the word of God, then Satan was gone just like that. Why? Because when we have the word of God, there's no room for Satan to attack us. That's why it's our complete whole armor of God. If every time someone says something, you have the word of God inside your head, there's no way Satan can use them to deceive us, right? For example, right? If the world says homosexuality is alright, is okay, we know the Bible says plenty of places that it's not okay. If the world says abortion is okay, and we know in the Bible it says it's not okay. This kind of example, right? But the minute we give a foothold to Satan, right? Just a little bit. And then he will destroy us little by little. You know, when I used to work during college, right, I used to unload watermelons. I'm talking about thousands of pounds of watermelons each day, right? Because during the time, every truck load, you know, the trailer, right, of watermelons. And usually, every time you unload it, you get $60, right? So if you unload three trucks, you have $180 per day, right? But to do three trucks, it's so difficult. Right? It's very difficult. That's how I hurt my back, right? My back is still hurting now, right? But whatever it is. But the thing is, if people do not know how to unload watermelons, after the 21, you'll die. Because some of them can be like 15, 20 pounds each, right? And you have to toss that thing. You don't care, you toss it, right? You get to, why? Because you don't use so much strength, but you use, right, you know, when you have experience in doing a watermelon. But the first watermelon is the most important one. When you unload the watermelon, right? First, you must know if you're a righty or a lefty, right? If you are a lefty, you can never take the first, if you take the watermelon, where would you take the first one? Because the watermelon is stacked up like this, right? Sometimes it's taller than me, right? So in other words, you're not going to go up there, right? And take up the watermelon like that, because it's too high, right? So in the beginning, it was so difficult, right? The three of us is three people, right? One that takes the watermelon, right? And one is the pastor, right? One is the one taking the watermelon, and the second one, the one that receives the watermelon, and the third one is packing the watermelon, right? You ever go to the supermarket, there's a bin of watermelons? That's how they do it, right? So why do I tell you this story? The foothold is the most important thing, right? Because the foothold do this watermelon, that the thing is you must get the first watermelon on the ground. If you be able to get the perfect one off the ground, that be able to, if you take the first one off the ground, sometimes the watermelon fall, right? And then what? You have to pay your money, right? Why? Because you destroy the watermelons, right? So that's why you have to need the eye to see. You look at the bottom watermelon, which one? Then you can take it out, and then you can stick your foot in there, then you can, your foot as the leverage, and then you toss the watermelon, right? But the minute you find the first watermelon, we can take it out and put our foot in replacement of it, then the whole truck is gone within 2 hours, right? 2.5 hours, right, or so. Satan do the same thing. Every day, he will survey the way we are, right? Which side of the walls you are weak, right? He knows your weakness, right? He knows your weakness more than you is yourself. Then what does he do? He tries to put his foot in there, right? The minute he can be able to put his foot in there, you are gone, little by little. So do not allow Satan to do that. Do not allow Satan to do that. And we're thinking, why the Word of God is the whole armor of God? Of course, there's nothing else. There's nothing else can last forever. There's nothing else can endure forever except for the Word of God. So think about this. Yes, even though we read the Word of God day in and day out, and you feel that the Word of God is not helping us in any way at all, but this is not true. But when you read the Word of God, you must read it, not just reading like a novel, right? You must read and meditate on it day and night. That's the most important thing. So as ministers, right, all the ministers, when they, you know, when they have free time in a sense, right, their minds always occupied with the Word of God. It doesn't matter what they do, right? And we can do exactly the same thing. So in other words, everywhere we go to the bathroom, we go on the toilet, we think about the Word of God, right? Why? Because sooner or later, this Word of God will be completely filled in us. For me, I get to the point that I really don't make any decision in about anything without, you know, check with the Word of God first. It doesn't matter what it is. Even praying for a person, I must know what is God's will. Right? What is God's teaching? So every process, so in other words, our goal is to have what? Our goal is to have this Bible as a filter. In other words, there's nothing should come into our head, because Satan would try to do it. Nothing should come to a head without going through this Bible first. This was important. If it goes through the Bible first, there's no way that any kind of poison can go through it. That if we have every word inside our head. If that if we have the mind of Christ. So before we go into the front line, we must realize all these things. If not, we will die. Now let's bow head. Now let's kneel down and pray together.